Amen. Thank you, brother.
Absolutely. I'll pass it back. Okay. You go ahead
and that it?
Yep.
Good deal.
Good morning, everybody. May I ask, who forgot to change your clock this morning, last night? Anybody else? Linda and I forgot to change ours, and my message is about the time change. So, no excuse. But I can always count on it. Well, you can. You're going to have some people that run late on time change Sunday. They'll show up by the time church is over. So you can count on it. But anyway, March the 1st, 1964, I surrendered to the ministry. A little church is up the road there from my house. It started in our house when I was just a little boy. The people started meeting under the tree out there to start with. And then I grew up in a sawmill country. I surrendered to preach on March the 1st. 1964, and I preached my first message the following Sunday on March the 8th, and the church licensed me. That night after church, on my first night of preaching March the 8th, the church called me, said, we saw in the paper where you started preaching. So they called me up the way, and I wound up accepting the church less than a month after I started preaching. So the Lord opened up the way, and he's still with me. Yeah. Thank the Lord for a congregation like we have today. But as you can see, my message this morning is entitled, It's a Matter of Time. It's a matter of time. And as we have already had the text read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we're going to follow up suit down with it. The last verse on your paper, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, today is. We're preparing the message this week, and I got some mail from one of our churches, and it had a statement on there that took my mind a moment, and I couldn't help but notice it, and I tried to identify it. But in Revelation chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21, give you a moment to find it there. Revelation 21, verse 21, or 22, actually. But what I saw in the mail this week that kind of struck me was a guy had printed there a timeless can't read my own writing. I'm sorry. I left my new glasses at home. But a timeless seminar. Now think about that a moment. It don't know me. What's a timeless seminar? Well, I know what timeless is, so let's read what John said in Revelations. Revelation 21, verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. No night. Gone. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abominations, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. It's almost like yesterday that I could hear my pastor up there for the Paul Niles saying, folks, you got to get your name in the book, in the Lamb's book of life. And he's right on. That's still the need of everybody. But let's look at the scripture where Solomon gave us the advice in Ecclesiastes that there's a time for everything done under the sun. There's a purpose for everything done under the heavens. And I say again, that was a time that sin entered. Sad to say, previous to that, man communed with God in person and face to face, but once the sin happened, that put a barrier up between God and man. Necessitated a time for sin to be paid for, which was promised by God himself. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, you're familiar with the scripture where the Lord said to the serpent that Adam was going to bruise his heel, going to put him out of business. And folk, that time is still awaiting, but we anxiously await, and we'll see that happen somewhere amidst the eternity between now and then. But it fulfilled some 1900 years ago at the place called Calvary. The Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, was nailed to the cross as he pled, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. And folk, they didn't know, but God did. But as he gives the things of that it's time for, he said there's a time to be born. Now, we had no say about this, did we?
Right.
I read some time back where there was a young guy literally sued his parents, his mom and dad, for being born. He said, I didn't want to be born. How did he know he didn't want to be born? Who told him? Can you think about that a moment? Sue your parents for being born. Maybe another way around. Well, that kind of blew my mind. That you think about suing your parents. As much trouble as we give them, they got a right to disown, don't they? But we were born a sinner. We didn't have to be a sinner. We were born that way. The Lord said, and if we've broken one of those commandments, we've broken them all. I don't know. There's nobody here today that's without sin. If it was, you'd be up here talking, not me. But thank the Lord, He died for our sin and for all our sin, not just part. But He said there was a time to die, an appointed time. But we can't escape that appointment. Rich, poor, free, or bondmaid, we still got to face that appointment. Can't get around it. We had a fellow that used to come to church here, was buried about 4 or 5 years ago. If it's not quite that long, maybe. Had an 8th grade education. And was a billionaire. He gave Linda and I the keys to his ranch down at Del Rio. Had 10 square miles ranch. I didn't say acres, I said 10 square miles. He went out here and built a new church out here on off of 290 Cypress. Tried to get me to bring their congregation we had out there and be part of his congregation. Good man, I loved him. But I told him things don't work that way. And by the fact, I didn't want to be preaching to one man. If you know what I mean. He knew he was well off. He owned it. Matter of fact, behind me is a big air conditioning manufacturing plant back here. It was the last time I was with him before he passed away. He built 5 churches that I know of. He'd go in and help struggling congregations build a church or whatever. He would give him credit. But he still had his own ways, and with that kind of power and money and so forth, he tended to exert it the wrong way.
Right.
And folks, I don't know about y'all, but I don't want somebody telling me how to preach.
Amen.
Especially away from the Word of God. But anyway, I don't care how rich that you are. Matter of fact, I don't know if I told y'all this or not, but when he died, he owned this manufacturing plant around here, and his family hired a hearse to take his hearse and drive it to all the machinery places around the place, the building there, where they could see him one last time. But every day he would drive in, and had a little, Linda and I rode with him a number of times. He had a little cot, a little cart that he drove around to each one of the machines, and he had a massive place back here for Houston, Texas. But at any rate, he was no exception to the rule. What he did and all he did is past tense. It rests on eternity. But I'm not talking about this brother because we all are like him. We all are sinners. But a point I want to bring out, I don't care how much material stuff you got, you can't stay here. Amen. You got to go. It's appointed unto man wants to die. But after this is the judgment. We must prepare for that time. We just read it. Where Paul wrote to the church of Corinth in the 6th chapter, and he said that now is the accepted time. There's a time to plant, the scripture says, and a time to pluck up. And folk, I don't know if you know it or not, but you may be sitting idle, but that don't keep you from planting something, maybe planting the seed of idleness. And folk, it's wrong to waste the Lord's time. He gives us all a certain amount of time, and He expects us to use it for Him. One of these days we're going to answer to the Lord for the deeds done in the flesh. That's not the way we're saved, is it? We're saved through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're all going to be judged according to our works. That's what the scripture says. But he said there's a time to plant and a time to pluck up. We all are planting something. What we pluck is what we reap, isn't it? Whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth unto the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth unto the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. And folk, that's the kind of seed we need to sow. Amen. Verse 4 says, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Folk, we all mourn, don't we, when we lose our loved ones? I just looking over the place here today, I see four of us at least that have lost children. And for a parent to lose a child, there's no greater pain. There's no greater mourning. Because we love our loved ones, don't we? It's a time to weep and a time to mourn and a time to dance. Years ago, things were different in people's ideals of morality and what have you. But Pastor Enrique went to Baylor University, which was a strong Baptist outlet. But Baylor had a rule up there, no dancing. Now this is before he, brother, Pastor Enrique's time. But it says no dancing. Think about that a minute. How does that fit with today's morality level? Not there, is it? And verse 6 says there's a time to get and a time to lose and a time to keep and time to cast away. Well, folk, the Lord said, confess your faults one to another, didn't He? We confess our sins to God that can forgive. For we confess our faults one to another, and I'm about to confess one. It says there's a time to cast away in verse 6. A time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. Most of you know I've been in the same house, Linda and I have there for 48 years. We came here as your pastor in 1977. And I've hoarded stuff. You go in my garage and you'll find stuff that's back 50 years old. But think about being in one place for 50 years. And how much stuff, you come along and say, well, I may need that one of these days, a spare tire or what. So what they do, they stacked on the rest of the stuff. And that's all it is the stuff, folks. You can't use all that stuff that you put back for some reason or another. But it said that was a time to keep and a time to cast away. And that's my problem, is the casting away. Verse 7 says, there's a time to rend and a time to sow. And a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Sometimes silence doesn't need any help. Some things are better unsaid than said. You ever say anything that you wish you could take back? Just don't say it to start with. That's all I can tell you. But once those words have gone out, they're eternal words. Now, you may change your mind, but you're not going to change what you said. So when you speak for eternity. Verse 8 says, a time to love and a time to hate. There's a time to love. And there's certain things in life that we learn to hate. Things that are enemies to God and God's people. But we're supposed to love first, love God. We're supposed to love Him with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. And folks, if we could just grasp what He did for us for a moment. I mentioned a moment ago that there was at least four of us today that's lost children. That's here, and there may be more, but I know of four we were talking about over here a little bit earlier. There is a time to mourn, isn't there? But folk, what I want you to realize, when I'm talking about losing a child, our Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross. And God the Father had to turn His back on Him. We're talking about Father and Son. Even though He was eternal, He took on Himself the body of a man. And God the Father gave up His Son. How much you... Folk, we love our children. God the Father gave up His Son to die in our place. There's no greater love than the only perfect person that ever walked on this earth was crucified, put to death. There is a time to love and a time to hate. Never forget that. Well, let me say, first of all, in closing, last of all, I should have said, thank the Lord for the privilege that y'all granted that I could be here today, and thank you for all you do for the Lord. Doesn't go unnoticed. But you can't outgive the Lord, can you? All right. Well, let's stand together and especially I want to thank Pastor and Ricky for fitting right in, and he works hard, folks. He works hard. You don't know how much he got going on. He realizes it now. There's work in the ministry. He has to give up things for his family, for his church and all, but he's manning up to it. Thank the Lord for him. All right, is there any announcement, anything you'd like to say? He mentioned Brother James Bostic a moment ago. Brother James was our neighbor for a long time, lived right across the street from us. I'm from Nacogdoches, and Brother James owned a donut shop in Nacogdoches for a long time. So Brother James and I go back a long way. He had polio when he was just a boy. Some of you may have seen him in the years gone by. He was a butcher down here at Fiesta, Mark. I say a butcher, baker. He got the butcher and the baker backwards in the scripture. But he was a fine neighbor and a good man. But he's refused treatment, I understand, yesterday when he went to the hospital. He said, no, I'm going to let nature take its course. If it's my time, it's my time. But it was cancer, wasn't it, brother? They said he had.
What I've been told, yeah.
So y'all keep Brother James and Mary and the family in your prayers. If he was able, he'd be here, I can tell you that much. And then also be prayer for Pastor Enrique as he goes tomorrow to hold a funeral up at Magnolia, is that right? Y'all wouldn't know the man that he's holding his funeral, but he lived with Brother Bobby about 30 years. He died with a heart attack this week. Dennis Davis by name. Okay. If there's no other announcement, Brother Enrique,